ready to listen to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio, your independent free speech media source. Holy moly! It's the 3rd of January 2006. Oh my god, we just went back to work.
What a bloody long day.
Yeah. Oh, fuckery.
2 weeks in bed, playing on the computer, watching telly, and then you have to go back to work.
Oh man.
It's the longest day.
It really did feel like a very, very horribly bad dream. Just, oh, why won't it end? Why won't it end? But then again, you know, on the plus side, it is Wednesday tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a 4-day week, so that's pretty cool.
Which means that, you know, the Saturday's coming so quickly.
Yeah.
I'm actually thinking of, like, starting to pack really now, you know?
You should, mate.
Yeah,
because you've got the meeting as well.
Yeah, exactly. So I've really got to pack, like, tomorrow and Thursday.
Yeah.
Because if I come back home drunk, I'm going to be like, fuck, sucks, I fucking need no fucking t-shirts.
What are we going to take to New York? Vodka, coke, some fags.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
I'm going to pack all the wrong stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be busted cold, man.
I'm sorted on that side. I bought this hardcore fucking jacket. It's, I don't know which army it is, but it's an army issue night cold weather survival jacket. By night, I mean it's night camouflage, night forest camouflage. Sorry?
Blends in with night, it's black.
Yeah, it's like actually, you'd be surprised, it's got more white on it than black. But it's got like white, brown, and black patches on it. What it will do is, it's insulated with like a layer of weirdness inside. It's like this kind of like weird kind of duvet. And you can remove that if it's a bit hotter than you expected it, so you can actually remove that layer, so it's not a problem. You're not like, oh fuck, it's so cold that I can't take it off, but it's too hot inside it, if you see what I mean. So you can control your temperature.
Cool stuff.
So yeah, that'll keep me warm.
I'm just taking loads of layers, I think. I do need a new coat, though.
Yeah. I mean, I would honestly, from experience, recommend any legitimate army surplus store. Because you know you're getting the best stuff there.
Yeah.
If you go to, like, wherever, I don't know where you shop, but if you go to, like, the kind of retailer, and you buy yourself like a survival jacket or like a, you know, like a camping jacket, it's not going to do its job. It's going to be made of shit. It's going to be made of plastic and like nylon and stuff like that. That makes you sweat like a bitch. It's not porous, basically. It doesn't let the heat through your body. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but like I know that with like fleece jackets and nylon kind of jackets and stuff like that. They look warm, but then really not. So if you're thinking of like going away for long periods of time where you're not sure if you're going to be inside or out, I recommend something like that. It's a bit, I don't know, it cost me £80 basically, and something like that would have cost me £120 or £130 in one of those camping kind of retail outlet sort of thing where they have those kind of specialized gear for mountain climbing, whatever.
Well, I only get my clothes from the very best, the elite kind of fashionable places, such as George of Asda.
You know what, man? I was about to say, I don't know where you shop. Maybe it's like Asda, but... but I didn't want it to come across as an insult, you see. You see, I'm kind that way.
I can't afford George of Asda. It's all Oxfam.
Yeah, I mean, even Oxfam. I don't know why people are so, you know, like, condescending on Oxfam. You know, you get really top-notch gear in there for a very low price that somebody else doesn't want anymore, if you see what I mean, and donates it to a charity. And if you, I mean, like, the whole kind of, oh, you're going into charity shop, well, you can find some really good stuff in there, like, you know, that people don't need anymore. And it's still, it's clothes, man. They last for years, especially if it's good stuff. You know, like boots. Boots will last you a fucking lifetime if you look after them.
Yeah, you get a proper, well-made pair of army boots, they'll be with you the rest of your days.
Mm. And, so, you know, you've got to be, you know, you've got to, I don't know, people like to wear labels and stuff. I really never was into that kind of stuff, especially when I was going through my teenage years and stuff like that. I stood out because I never wore a label. I never had my Nike shoes. I never had, you know, labeled whatever, trainers or shorts or whatever, you know. It wasn't, that wasn't my kind of style. I really didn't care about that. I had bigger things on my mind, like hacksawing the Gibson and learning about expanding my mind and spiritualization and expanding my mind through hallucinogenic drugs and stuff like that. So, you know.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
So the money you saved on clothes, you spent on drugs.
Indeed.
You crazy hippie.
But yeah, it's gonna be a good laugh. I'm a bit worried about Ionix. I haven't heard from him for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if you've got a pack like today. Well, tomorrow. The day after,
yeah.
Then let's get in contact with the guy and make sure everything's cool.
Yeah.
Just see how he's doing, really, because it's been probably about 2 weeks, I think. No, just under, since you spoke to him. So it's been more than 2 weeks since I spoke to him.
Well, I spoke to him on New Year's...
Christmas Eve, I think.
Christmas Day, actually. I think I spoke to him.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Christmas Eve? I think it's Christmas Eve I spoke to him. So, yeah. Is it a week now?
Well, yeah, that's just over a week.
Yeah.
Go so fast and you got bugger all to do
fuck. It seemed like 4 days. I don't know, 3 days. It's a week, I guess. But I don't know. He's not one to be quiet, so I'm guessing he's in some serious systems at the moment. You know, he's doing some stuff, I guess. So it'll be kind of good to get in touch with him and go, so, like, when we get there, like, where do we go? Like, where the fuck are you, man? Just give me some GPS. I don't give a shit. Just give me a 16-digit GPS coordinate. I'll find you.
I'll find you, motherfucker.
But yeah, you'll be happy to know I am bringing my GPS, so...
Cool.
There's no chance of us really getting lost unless there's heavy cloud cover. Or it's raining or something like that, so...
Or you don't have the GPS coordinates of where we need to be.
Yeah, or I've got to put batteries in it.
Yeah. Well, we're at 27, 19, 32. What the fuck does that mean?
Looking
for the train station.
Yeah. Hi, taxi driver, can you take me to 13 degrees north, 17 latitude, horizon event 6?
Get out of here, you crazy monk. Should be a laugh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm coughing like a bastard today.
Oh dear.
Been smoking too much too with the time off work.
Mm.
You know, I had to take up a hobby, so I took up smoking. Or rather, more smoking than normal.
Yeah. Oh man, I've been busy looking at some news stories.
Yes.
I was looking at some like stuff that I found on the British police and their ability to arrest people now without really having, you know, like, before it would be, like, for crimes such as dropping litter, we're aware that, like, it is illegal now to drop, to litter. I think it's an on-the-spot fine. I'm not sure how much it is, but I'm pretty sure it's an on-the-spot fine. So, you're looking at, now, being arrested. British police will be able to arrest anyone for any criminal offence, basically. Including minor misdemeanors such as dropping litter and the new laws to come into force on Sunday. So, basically, we can do whatever the fuck we want on Saturday. Until now, police have had the power to arrest only suspects of committing an offence carrying a substance or at least 5 years in prison. The new law requires only the police officer to have reasonable grounds of belief that the person in the arrest is necessary. This includes a suspect refusal to give his name and address. The charges are part of the Serious and Organized Crime Act 2005, which removes the distinction between reasonable and non-reasonable offences. Offences that will now, until now, have been non-reasonable, including impersonating an officer, non-stopping vehicle when ordered, or making such a selling of offensive weapon. Now, this sounds very much like something in accordance with the new terror laws. Police will in future be allowed to photograph suspects on the street where they have been arrested or issue a fixed penalty notice rather than back at a police station. Hazel Blair's a home officer. I mean, they all fucking have like some sort of Blair thing, man. This is the Blair Witch Project, I tell you that. Ian Blair, Hazel Blair, Tony Blair, fucking, it's the Blair Witch Project, I tell you, man.
Home office, Blair.
I don't know, maybe I'm just fucking paranoid or something. But, you know, explaining the change of introduction of a single, a rationalized power of arrest simplifies the arrest powers. The tough new powers make a significant contribution to creating a modern, efficient police service, equipping frontline officers with the tools they need to fight modern crime effectively and to keep our neighborhoods safe. Sure, they do. I mean, like, how much has crime really changed that they have to change the law so much? I mean, if an officer sees somebody committing an offense, do they not arrest him anyway? Like, if you saw somebody breaking into a car, you'd arrest that person. If the person failed to stop their vehicle, you'd still get arrested. This doesn't really make that much of a change, apart from the whole bit of the big kind of bit where it says committing an offense that doesn't have any reasonable grounds of believing that the person's arrest is necessary, if you see what I mean. So, like, you could potentially be arrested because they suspect, but don't have reasonable grounds to arrest you. Like, now you have to have reasonable grounds. Now, after Sunday, they don't need reasonable grounds to arrest you. So, they could suspect that potentially you are a criminal or a terrorist, and they can still arrest you without having to have reasonable grounds or in, when they say reasonable grounds, they mean evidence. So they don't need evidence now to arrest you. Which is a bit shitty for people like, I don't know, us, maybe, you know?
People like everyone.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing in that article, it was saying that previously, the crime you had to have committed to be arrested had to have a rough jail sentence of about 5 years.
Yeah.
And if it's that or over that, they can arrest you for it. Otherwise, they give you a bollocking, or they give you a fine, or they give you a caution, you know. Now, it's anything, it's any crime whatsoever. Yeah. They have the power to arrest you on it.
Sure.
Also, if they suspect you of it, they can arrest you on it.
Yeah.
And another part of that article that probably scared me the most was when it brought up the fact that when they arrest you, they take your picture, they take your fingerprints, they take your DNA, and they keep it. They don't throw it away if you're innocent. So you could be arrested on suspicion of anything.
Yeah.
You're taken down the cop shop, fingerprints, photo, DNA. Oh, sorry, we had the wrong bloke who's 2 foot taller than you and, you know, only had one eye.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened, you're free to go. But we're keeping your DNA, fingerprints and photo on file.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Now, that's just wrong. That's a way of rounding up people, I reckon.
Yeah.
And just getting yet another database of innocent people.
I thoroughly support that, what you just said. I mean, don't know what's going on with the world now, but it's very scary.
turning into a police state over here, man.
Yeah.
Really are, little by little. But you put all these little bits together and it's, oh, it's fucked up. I mean, I was reading another story today where they're trying to set up a database of children.
Yeah.
So that's basically sounded to me like a way of extending the ID register database.
Yeah.
Where if you're over a certain age and they get these ID cards in, you're part of this database and they track you on all these different fields.
Yeah.
Now they're trying to bring in a different one. Oh, yeah, they won't be linked at all. Of course not. Of kids from when they're born up to the age of when they leave school or something like that.
Yeah.
And that, again, was all height, age, race, sex, and any information they could get on them. It sounded like they wanted to list on these kids. And as soon as they get to the age where they are going to be forced to have an ID card, it's just going to send a record over to the other database.
Yeah.
And I don't care what they say, it's all going to be linked.
I don't know if you remember, but some way in season one, which seems quite a long way away now, season three, I was talking about the horrible fact that I found out about secondary schools or schools in general taking actual notice and noting every behavioural aspect of a child or a young adult or whatever you want to call them. Yeah. Growing up, like, you know, the stuff they do, the things that they're interested in, the clothes they wear, the music they listen to, any kind of personal information, such as their personal agenda, their own, you know, all that kind of stuff. Teachers actually write down in a very detailed report on each one of their students, and then that report is then grouped together and sent off to the government to be placed into a database. I found this out because a good friend of mine, his mother is a teacher in that school, and she told him about what they're doing and how what they have to do. You know, it's something they have to do as a teacher. What that means is they don't tell you that there isn't anything that you say, well, I don't actually want my stuff detailed and recorded, I just like to come here to learn and feel safe and, you know, and do what I have to do to get the fuck out of here, because I have to be, you know, it's like you don't have a choice. So it's just a horrifying fact. And maybe it wasn't that obvious in you know, our time, but certainly now I think that's been stepped up, and every student now throughout their education process is monitored. Now, you know, I can, I'm sure you can, and I, you know, we can come up with thousands of conspiracy theories about why and what they're doing this, but I honestly believe that this is a widespread nationwide monitoring survey of the progressive dumbing down and dehumanizing, personalizing of the human child's mind. And you can see that now if you go to any school, how stupid and how sheep-like children have become. And maybe I've read too much of George Orwell, you know, maybe I've looked into, you know, 1984 too much, but that's so, I don't know, it just seems like that, like now, you know, it just seems like it's moving into that kind of age of where everything is going to become very, very ugly very soon, so, yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a definite point that if you're used to that as a kid growing up in school, then you're going to be used to it when you leave school, and for the rest of your life, you're just going to be saying, oh, yeah, fine, take notes on me, put me on a database. Yeah. Hey, they've been doing that since day one. Mm. Surely that's the way it's always been, because that's the way you've always lived your life. You know, I think people of our age are seeing a shift from where you could be anonymous, where, you know, where there weren't cameras everywhere. That wasn't the world we grew up in. There weren't massive databases tracking you, everything about you. And then we're starting to see the birth of this now. Hmm. And we're going, hang on a fucking minute, what?
Yeah.
Whereas if we were brought up in a world where that already existed, we'd just go, okay, fine, I assume you guys know what you're doing, government, yeah. So, yeah, if you say so, cool.
Yeah, I mean...
fuck that.
I think, you know, I wasn't aware. I suspected, but I wasn't aware of that happening. You know, it's confirmed that, yeah, it does actually happen, and it is an active threat, but nobody's actually aware, nobody's told. You know, there's no Disclosure Act in... you know, there's no disclosure kind of like thing that you sign before you join the school. There is like a code of conduct and whatever, you know, you have to do and your parents have to sign and all that kind of jazz, but doesn't nowhere does it say your child will be monitored and their activities and all that kind of stuff and all that will be placed into a database. It's just very, very scary. And I don't know, there's no way you can really stop that, because they won't how can the government, you know, say, oh, well, yeah, we do it? They're not going to admit to it. They're not going to do much to it.
Mm. Even if they did admit to it, it would all be for research gathering and trying to improve the education rates at the school. And this way we can identify what children are learning and how we can best help them. And they'll spin it, obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing that's popped to mind is, if this is going on, I just think I must have missed that episode. I was probably in the States.
Possibly,
that
went on,
because that is shocking, and I'm pretty sure I'd have
been shocked if I remembered it.
One thing that springs to mind is, if this information gathering is going on and everything at these schools, surely these kids, under the... Data Protection Act, would have a right to request that information.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But like you say, hardly anyone bloody knows about it. But how can you request information you don't know is being collected on?
Yeah, I know. It's
clever.
But how can you request information that doesn't exist? You see what I mean?
Mm.
You know? It's like, well, when you're just paranoid, you know?
what information? I don't know.
Exactly, but I mean, what I heard was you know, all the teachers actually discussed this stuff in the teachers' room, and they were very unhappy about it. It was everybody was kind of like, we have to do this, but we don't like it, and it was a general consensus from what I heard from all the teachers that were having to do this, and it could be from your PE teacher to your art teacher to your math teacher to, you know, whatever. On top of what they have to usually do, a report, which is just a standard progress report about, you know, your general behavior and shit like that, if you've been, you know, a bastard in class or whatever, to this psychoanalytic kind of report. It's just pretty fucked up.
Maybe that's why our old PE teacher kept looking at us in the showers.
Probably. But I think that's just you.
No, he was just a big old weirdo.
Yeah.
Come on, boys, into the showers. Fuck off. that's mad.
Yeah.
Bloody scary, mate.
Yeah. I mean, I did say about that time where we had to do that project report. It was just about turning to kind of sixth form. We were getting into the sixth form, and we had to do this thing about a flash animation about... you know, our interests and stuff like that, you know, and just to rehash, basically, we had to do a flash, you know, flash animation about, you know, our general interests. Children did, we did about, some people did about football, about a favorite movie, all that kind of generic stuff, you know, you'd expect. My favorite band, my favorite movie, my favorite football team, you know.
And I like My Little Pony.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, we were, like, I don't know, 17 at that time, so you'd be a bit fucked, you know.
Never too
out.
Old for My Little Pony.
Oh, there's some things I'm going to find out on this trip. Anyway. so I did it about, like, secret societies and Illuminati and Big Brother and all that kind of stuff. This was before Big Brother, and this was before the kind of awakening of you are being watched, but you kind of like it sort of thing. And everybody was like, shit, that's really cool, you know, that's really kind of opened my eyes to things I never really believed that were going on and stuff like that. So the following day, unbeknown to me, I get called into our kind of tutor, to head of, I don't know, our tutor group sort of thing person. And yeah. She sits me down and she just, you know, starts talking about my life history. So, you know, I'm pretty kind of a closed off person when it comes to, you know, I don't know, personal things like that. You know, even though she is my teacher, there's not much I wanted to say to her. And then she basically suggests for me to visit the school counselor once a week to go into therapy because she believes I'm a disturbed child. A lot of other things I found out that she didn't actually tell me, and the information wasn't actually available to me directly, but I found out through sources of where basically I had to find out, basically my mother had to know what was going on, sort of thing, legally. Mm. She was still my legal guardian, seeing as I wasn't an adult of 18 years old. So through her, I found out what the fuck she was actually thinking and saying. I didn't rebel, and I did actually go and visit the psychotherapist sort of thing, but thereby a legal battle pursued of accusations of things that weren't true and stuff. So people kind of say, "Oh, you're just paranoid," sort of thing, and stuff like that to me on a regular basis at times because I talk about these things. But when it hits you that hard, you even begin to self-doubt, you know? It's like, am I really fucked up, you know? But then it becomes even stronger that, shit, these people are so blind to what's going on that they have to resort to externalizing their fears into somebody that is open-minded and does believe that the government really is out to get you. And does not want you to be a free person and to, you know, basically socialize and communicate with people around the country and have encrypted technology and be able to protect your privacy, sort of thing. So that was just, you know, that's how it personally affected me, and that's why it made the person I am now, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's weird, man. And again, that's just another way of keeping records on.
Yeah.
They send you to the school psych, and they're not just there for a nice little chat. They're taking it all down.
Yeah.
It's going to be in a report.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, they're asking those specific questions, not because they give a toss about what you think. It's because they want to know what your response is. You know.
Yeah, I play that motherfucker like a game, and I'm actually quite a good actor, so...
Owned it!
Yeah. But anyway, that's another story.
Yeah, weird.
And, this story grabbed me. Awesome. And my email, I sent you that email about robots being self-aware. I'm sure Sean Kennedy's going to be like, this is really fucking awful, we should kill all these robots. But actually, I think it's kind of cool. Japanese people, how clever they are, have created a robot that is able to recognize the difference between a mirror image of itself and another robot just by looking at it. So-called mirror image recognition is based on artificial nerve cell groups built into the robot's computer brain that gives it the ability to recognize itself and acknowledge others. Groundbreaking technology could eventually lead to robots able to express emotions. Under development by Junichi Takeno and a team of researchers in Meiichi University in Japan. I'm really crap at pronouncing Japanese stuff.
Japanese is really hard names anyway.
The robot, you have to take a triple look at it. The robot represents a big step towards developing self-aware. I mean, I have problems with fucking English, but let alone. There are problems in understanding and modeling human self-consciousness. In humans, consciousness is basically a state in which the behavior of the self and others is understood, said Takeno. A human learns humans learn behavior during cognition and conversely learn to look, to think while behaving. Okay? To mimic this dynamic, a robot needs to needs a common area in its neural network that is able to process information on both cognitive behavior. Takino and his colleagues built a robot with a blue, red, and green LED connected to artificial neurons. The region that lit up different information is being processed based on the robot's behavior. The innovative part of independent nodes in the hierarchical levels that can be linked that achieve that response. For example, two red diodes illuminate when the robot is performing behavior that considers its own. Two green bulbs light up when the robot acknowledges behavior that's performed by another. One blue LED flashes when the robot is both recognizing behavior on another robot and imitating it. Imitation, said Takino, is an act that requires both seeing a behavior in another and instantly transferring it onto oneself, and is the best evidence of consciousness. In one experiment, a robot represents the self was paired with an identical robot representing the other. When the two robots moved forward, stopped, or backed up, the other robot did the same. The pattern of neurons firing in the subsequent flashes of blue indicating that the self robot understood that the robot was indeed mimicking its own behavior. In the other experiment, researchers placed a self robot in front of a mirror. In this case, the self robot and the reflection, sometimes it could be interpreted as another robot, moved forward and back at the same time, although the blue lights flashed. They did so less frequently in other experiments. In fact, 70% of the time, the robot understood that the mirror image was itself and not another robot. Which is just awesome. And it actually recognized that it was itself and not another robot mimicking its own behavior. But in another experiment, it recognized that it was another robot mimicking its own behavior. So the robot was actually self-aware. It had consciousness. These fuckers were able to build a cybertronic brain in where the robot was self-conscious. That's fucking awesome. And in 2005, which is the year of when they built this thing, you know, we're coming closer to the cybernetic brain, you know?
Fuck.
Yeah. Think about building this stuff into, like, I don't know, computers, you know? Think about, I don't know if computers is such a good thing to build them into, really, you know? Because how about, I don't know, maybe games? If you could take that, you know, if you could build from hardware kind of stuff into software. Make a game software itself. Make AI truly AI, you know?
That'd be weird.
Yeah, it's treading on very, very shaky ground right there. You know, you're going right over the thin parts of an icy lake right there with that one. And if you slip, you're gonna fall into some fucking shit, because you know it's gotta be. I'm serious with this one. You gotta handle this with the true hand.
Absolutely.
Because if this goes into warfare, you're gonna have self-aware killing drones that are able to recognize other drones from itself and also recognize the enemy with 100% accuracy. You know, this motherfucker is gonna be able to take you out, no problems. They don't know right and wrong, but they know what to kill, you know?
Yeah, they know one and zero.
Yeah.
Mad. I mean, it's a hell of an achievement, but
yeah.
Obviously you start reading this news story here that you sent me, I just got it on screen.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa,
yeah.
Hang on a minute.
You actually be able to see that picture of the robot, I believe, if you click, the Gmail just blocks stuff out. Just click show content or whatever. You'll be able to see it.
Right, yeah. Cool.
You should be able to see the pictures.
Good stuff.
But yeah, it's pretty mad.
Crazy, crazy stuff. You seen that little robot that Honda are messing around with, the Asimo one?
No.
It's pretty damn cool. They've been working on it for years. It's like a bipedal robot.
Yeah. That
can walk on its own without falling over, and that's a big step for them.
Yeah.
And they've just got it to run as well. And they've got all this this video up. They've actually got a miniature website somewhere on Honda.maybe.com, maybe.jp. Google for Asimo, A-S-I-M-O, and Honda, you should find it. Anyway, they've got all these videos up of this robot running, and it's really freaky.
Yeah.
It's just standing there, and then they tell it to, you know, they switch on the run button or whatever they do, probably remote control, and this thing just goes, about 20 miles an hour. Wow. Just starts running dead fast. And they've got it to, like, corner as well, while it's running.
Well, so, does it? Is it bipedal? Does it have two legs?
Yeah.
Wow!
It's just on its own. Absolutely no wires. Based on like a small human kind of model.
Wow!
It will run around and all kinds of stuff. It looks really, really cool. And they've been working on that for a few years
now. Yeah. I mean, they got a robot to climb stairs.
Yeah.
Which is something the Daleks could never do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's an achievement.
Well, they couldn't actually do it until the Sylvester McCoy years, and then they built a kind
some
of a hovering Dalek
some
where
sort of jet
chased him up the stairs. Yeah,
that was.
And in that episode, Sylvester McCoy was trapped in the basement of a school where the little girl used to go in the first episode ever of Doctor Who, and the bloke who played Mr. Bronson was the headmaster there. There's a little bit of trivia for you.
We love this.
It's not very, it's not very accurate. That guy who was in the thing and he did that what's it and, you know. But it's all true. I'm a big geek, yeah.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
In our hearts.
In Lynx news, if you go to www.digitaluniverse.net, you'll find some cool stuff about an organization called Digital Universe that are planning to create an open internet environment where it offers, basically this is reading from the website, what is Digital Universe? The Digital Universe is a united, organized multimedia web that will inform, educate, engage, and involve people worldwide. The mission is to realize that the internet's potential as an open, non-commercial medium that inspires creativity, communication, and collaboration with education. We believe that the future worthy of our children can only emerge from the collaboration of humans as a whole. A growing global alliance of researchers, scholars, and experts are beginning to collaborate on the content and use of new rich media tools to convey knowledge in innovative ways and visual outstanding ways. This is awesome stuff, man. It's like free education on a global scale. It's going to be massive, and I think it's sort of up and running already.
That's looking cool.
Yeah.
Gonna have to check that out.
Bagger. Sorry about that. I checked it out too soon. Yeah. What else do we have?
Got a weird piece here.
Yeah, go on.
It's all pretty much speculation. It's from the LA Times, I think today. And they're claiming that Google will start selling PCs pretty soon.
Right, cool.
Now, they say that they've got sources that say Google have been in negotiations with Walmart over in the States.
Wow.
Okay. Who are absolutely massive, amongst other retailers, and an exclusive deal to sell a Google PC.
Awesome.
Now, it says here, this machine would run an operating system created by Google.
See,
not Windows.
The rumors are true. Google are producing their own operating system.
Now, there's no names, there doesn't seem to be any facts here, but Larry Page, Google's co-founder and president of products, is going to give a keynote speech this Friday at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. He's announcing something, that's all they know, and they claim they've got sources that are saying it's going to be a Google PC that's going to run a Google operating system, it's going to be dirt cheap, it's going to be in all your Walmart stores in the States, it's going to be flipping everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, I think there's one of those every couple of miles or something like that.
Yeah.
Walmart also own Asda over here, so it could come over here potentially and be very, very available.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then just bits and bobs, blah, 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 Google this, Google that, Google billions of dollars, diddly, diddly, do. The interesting point is, what is going to go on Friday? Well, we'll find out on Friday, but... Yeah. As Bilal said, the rumours could be true. Google OS, maybe.
Yeah, it's sounding pretty cool now. Oh, we can only just speculate why it's going to be so cheap. The whole kind of, they're creating a... I think it's going to be so cheap because they're going to be making money from the advertising that they'll be able to display on your machine, if you see what I mean.
Absolutely.
But that's not to say you shouldn't buy it. If you're aware that they are going to be doing that, you'll still have a PC that's dirt cheap that you can, I don't know, fuck around with. You know, you see what I mean?
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
be all open source or something.
Yeah,
who knows?
The scheme that was being set up a few, maybe a year back, was to sell, no, actually give away free computers. They were medium range spec computers that I signed up on, but the drawback is you're going to get a fucking, you know, you're going to get a decent computer with an actual screen for free. The only drawback is that you have to endure so many hours of advertising on that screen. But nowhere did it say that it actually calls back home, that it has to check that it, you know, it's getting, that it's, you're actually looking at advertising, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
So what's there to stop you from just wiping the hard disk clean and installing, let's say, I don't know, Linux on there? So, yeah, that was something quite cool that I signed up to but never got any results from because, I don't know, they just don't like me. Something that Shaman just said in the forum, in the IRC channel, is a really cool human robot. The link is www.etech, that's E-T-E-K dot Chalmers, that's C-H-A-L-M-E-R-S dot S-E slash tidal wave, or tidal, I don't know how you call that wavy thing. Tidal Almir, that's
wavy thing.
Yeah, A-L-M-I-R slash. So that's a cool little robot right there that looks quite humanoid, as in it's got all four limbs and it's all bendy and stuff like that. And it looks pretty cool. So check that out if you want to see a cool little robot made, which looks like Meccano. So, you know, it's pretty fucking awesome.
That's a really weird thing, because bipedal robots a few years ago was a major barrier. And I mentioned the Asimo because I think that's the first one I ever heard of that cracked it.
Yeah.
And now what Shane's just posted is kind of a student's little project where he's done it as well.
Yeah.
And I think the RoboSapien can stomp around on 2 feet and dance and stuff like that. So, although it was a major barrier 10 years ago, now you've seen it in toys, you've seen it in the students' school projects and things.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, the kind of stuff I used to do at school was build robots, but they were like logo robots. Like, you know, you'd be like, go forward 10 paces, turn right 20 degrees, go forward, turn around 60 degrees, something like that, you know? It was just basic.
Did you get a go on that turtle thing?
Yeah, I love turtle so much. I still program in Logo, which is the programming language for turtle. I mean, that was the first ever kind of machine code, where it's actual raw machine code, where it was designed for cutting machines, if you see what I mean. So it was designed for manufacturing. And it took off in education sense, where the coding was designed in a software sense. So instead of you moving around a very expensive piece of kit, you were just moving around a little turtle around a screen. And I used to create, at the age of maybe 6 or 7, very complex equations, very cool little patterns and stuff on the screen.
Oh, okay.
And that was awesome. But what we used to do is code an assembler for like lifts. We'd make a lift out of pretty much what resembles Meccano, with motors, sensors and triggers and stuff like that, and then you'd make it move and stuff like that. And that was awesome. I love doing that kind of stuff. It's just a shame that that stuff to do now is actually very expensive. So, you know, it's really important that you go to a good school to be able to experience that kind of stuff, because it does have a profound effect on you in later life. That is, if you like that kind of stuff. You know, there was probably like 90% of the class that didn't give a fuck about this thing, and they were just like me sitting there going, you know. Awesome,
like,
I made
the go on it.
Yeah, awesome, I made the fucking door open, sort of thing. But yeah, maybe I slightly hogged that computer, but
for about 3 months.
Yeah.
It's my turn. I'll see you in January. Bye.
Yeah, that really
was. I think back to my school days, it is probably the first thing that got a lot of people into computers.
Yeah.
And it's just, look, if you type this in on the keyboard, forward 10, that turtle thing down there on the floor will actually move.
Yeah.
How cool is that? We're only kids at the time. It's like, wow, we're controlling a robot.
Yeah.
And then you really get into the computers and it's like, oh man, this is so cool.
Mm.
It's such a great thing to get kids kind of interested in that visual way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, rather than, you will learn computers, they're important, and they'll be even more so by the time you grow up.
Yeah.
It's like, give them something fun to do.
Precisely.
You know.
Get them involved and get them, you know.
They'll love it.
Exactly. The best thing about it is, once you've written your program out, and let's say it creates a box or something like that, something simple, is then playing around with that code that you've just written and making it do different things, making it break, make it loop 10,000 times over, see what the fuck it does. And you know, that's how I kind of develop my stuff, and that's how I kind of work now in my kind of, I don't know, technical life, is I'll keep on making mistakes but developing on them every so often. And then once you achieve that final goal, you kind of stick with it. But then you have that problem of thinking, oh, is that, it's not good enough, you know, it could be a little bit better, sort of thing. So it is like a progressive learning through your own mistakes, and that's what it gives you in that kind of virtual sense. It gives you that freedom and safety of being able to fuck the program up, but being able to go back a step, sort of thing, and know where you went wrong. And that's what gave me that freedom to explore with programming. But then, I don't know, it's like, you know, 1 out of 10 in a class do that sort of thing, and the rest of the kids go outside and play football. I don't know.
You know? Or My Little Pony.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been sponsored by the Mattel Corporation. He-Man toys are now available.
Yeah.
Not really. Don't get worried.
Okay.
I'm lying.
Oh, I just took you off mute anyway, so. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, just looking over that Google thing, that's going to be weird if that comes off. Be damn cool. I want it to happen. Because obviously more computers out there, more operating systems, just more variety. It's more cool stuff to piss around with. Very technical terms I'm using. that's Friday in LA. So that's probably going to be in the evening.
Coming Friday. Right, okay.
If I've got this right, then it's actually this Friday.
Yeah, that should be interesting to read about. Yeah. On Saturday morning, I guess.
Yeah, just thinking about that, you know, we're probably not going to find out what's going on
Well,
until,
you know, I'll have my laptop with Wi-Fi, and Wi-Fi is in the airport.
Cool.
So, you know. There's no stopping me.
Hitting the refresh. Come on, give us booze.
So, yeah, do you have any more news? Because I want to move on to the story that I have about advertising in, what is it, actual programs instead of cutting stuff.
Just one little thing I've been playing around with today, which is the Google Reader.
Yeah.
It's probably old news to a lot of people, but it's the first time I found it today, which is google.com/reader.
Right.
It's basically an RSS feed reader. There's a lot of other programs that can do this, and I think Yahoo do an online version as well. Mm-hmm. But you sign up for your favourite RSS sites, and it just gives you all the news headlines. It's an RSS reader. But the cool thing is it's online, so you can log in and check your RSS feeds wherever you are. Found it very, very useful because I was kind of tagging news stories at work that I thought was interesting, and then I come home, I'm able to log straight back on, and there's the things I want to talk about tonight.
Cool.
Which isn't much tonight, but in theory, it's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
And well worth checking out.
So the weirdest thing is I was doing the exact same thing today. I was actually creating one for us, like a Hacker Voice kind of RSS thing, where the whole web page is editable and movable and stuff, but you have to log in. And I was thinking, how about if I create one for all of us to use, to log into? But then I thought, wait a second, but you have to use an email address with a password. Now, it doesn't have to relate to the password of your email address, but you have to create an email address. So I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll just either create an email address that we can just log into via that application and create a password that everybody can know. And then, you know, if you fuck around with it, whatever, do whatever you want to it. So I don't know, I was thinking about doing something like that. And obviously, if you want to subscribe to our RSS feed, you can do so by going to www.hackervoice.co.uk/feed.xml. You can get our RSS feed right there, and all the episodes that have been done are on there and listed, apart from last night's episode because I was too lazy to put it on. But yeah, but we should be getting, I don't know what's happened to Scoby, but he did promise us a more dynamic website where all the kind of dynamic content, such as episodes, are automatically listed and fed into an RSS feed every night that they're done, sort of thing. So there's not a lot of work I have to do. But that's still in due process. Other announcements that I want to say is the HackerVoice.net has been in testing for quite some time now, and it's up and running. It's working fine. We've had a lot of fun with it where we were testing it, me and Onyx and Planet Lave. What will happen now is we're having slight technicalities with certain things in the way the network operates. Once we've got that sorted out, we'll actually open it. So we'll there'll be a post somewhere in the forums about it, how you can get onto it. It's very simple. All you need is it's fully supported for Windows, not so much for Linux, but you can download an application which basically logs into our network. With a password and the network name, there is listed all the machines on that network that are active at that time. You can then browse their shares and use that as a virtual private network, so a VLAN for peer-to-peer stuff like that. So once it's all kind of grown, the uses of it are pretty much endless, so we'll have a lot of fun with that.
Very cool stuff.
Yeah. It's pretty simple to kind of set up and install from a kind of client end, so I don't think people should be having too many problems with it.
No, I did it in about 5 minutes when I was half asleep, and you said, press this, do that, turn that on. There's the network. All right, cool. Hey. So, yeah, don't think it's going to be a problem.
In kind of weird... you don't want this on your TV news. Nippon Television Network Corporation has been skillfully inserting commercials into late-night drama Wonder Tours at the beginning broadcast in September. When a woman who plays a radio celebrity in the drama moves a switch, a red CM appears on the right-hand side corner of the screen, and the program shifts to driving scene in which the two performers talk about their vehicles. In an effort by NTV, is a challenge to conventional commercials, which are increasingly falling to keep attention of ITV viewers. Rather than halting programs to run controversial commercials, although the new CM would be interesting, said Kundo Koyama, a broadcasting writer who planned the program. Broadcasting and advertising officials are paying attention. They want to see if this will keep viewers from skipping commercials. So basically what they're doing is, instead of having to cut whatever you're watching, like let's say you're watching ER, and then it cuts, and then you have like 2.5 minutes, I think it's 2.5 minutes, I'm not sure, of commercials, and then it cuts back into the program. What will happen is that somebody's watching this, commercials come on, you switch to another channel. Now, I know this for myself, because I fucking hate commercials so much.
Yep.
But what will happen now is that they won't have that gap where the commercials come in, you know, when the commercials start, and then they stop, and then the program starts again. What will happen is that the commercial is going to be blended directly into the program you're watching. So if it's ER, it's going to be like, have you tried these new herbal remedies? Have you tried this? Have you tried that? It's really awesome. And all that stuff, it will be written into the script of the thing you're watching, which is just going to be really fucking shite. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to, first of all, you have that sort of scale of somehow reasonable belief in the program. You see what I mean? Like, you're watching EastEnders. I mean, unless you, I don't know how brain damaged you have to be to actually believe that this stuff is kind of really real, that this is real characters, that they're happening in their lives. But whatever, you know, there's a
I
lot.
I thought it's a documentary.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of EastEnders fans out there, but the products will actually be directly on sale, so they will be profiting from, instead of the channel directly profiting from, it will be the production team of the channel. It's usually the same kind of ball game anyway, but I don't know, I just think it's going to make things so fucking tacky, you know?
Oh, too, right, yeah. It sounds fucking awful.
Yeah.
You know, and actually writing adverts into part of the plot. Yeah. I mean, do you need to say any more? It's just, it's obviously just going to destroy the illusion of the program. And how are you going to write that into science fiction? Battlestar Galactica, for example. You know, when I'm not trying to save the human race, I drink Pepsi. That's better. Now let's go get those Cylons. Not going to work. Another thing about BBC and the EastEnders, even though we all pay our licence fees here in the UK for them to fund and run the BBC and make quality programmes like EastEnders, they have in the past been using product placement.
Right.
For which they get a big sack load of cash.
Oh yeah, I'm sure everybody's fully aware of product placement.
I didn't think they were, because I wasn't. I used to watch it, and it's sort of things like cars and mobile phones, and you know, they take their labels off the beer, so it looks like they're not advertising Budweiser or Grolsch or any particular type of beer, but it's the subtle things that they can't change, that they're taking the backhander on.
Yeah.
You know, certain characters will use a specific brand of mobile phone to try and appeal to people.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, man, I've got so much stuff to speak about, that kind of stuff, that I could just do my own fucking show on it, man. You know?
We should do a product placement episode, then, because I've got a huge,
There's so much stuff that I know about advertising, simply just pushing products through different mediums, that are just so... Well, I hate commercialism as it is, but once you get really into it, it's really horrible. It makes you sick. They don't really give a fuck about you and the whole kind of TV kind of thing. That watching TV just by itself, it's proven that just by watching television, they did a test with babies where they hooked them up to like brainwave meters. I don't know what the technical term for it is. I'm not a doctor, but they hooked them up to those. I think it's an ECG or something like that. And what they did is monitor their brainwaves while the babies were watching a television screen that had nothing on it. It was just a blank, turned on, fully working, but it wasn't showing anything. There wasn't like a program on, if you see what I mean. So they discovered that the children stopped crying and their brainwaves mimicked or became the same as like rapid eye movement brainwaves when you're in deep sleep, even though the babies were fully awake and they had their eyes open. They were fully aware of what they're watching, and they were watching this television flashing light sort of thing. It was creating it was just by the flicker of the television creates that change of brainwave activity in your head, which means that you're less able to resist suggestiveness. It's like a hypnosis. That's basically what they were trying to get at. When you watch TV, your defense mechanisms drop and you become suggestible. That's why programs are able to draw you in. You become more connected to the motions of the character and things that are happening because of what's happening to you while you're watching, your brain's watching the TV. Some scary stuff, you know. Yeah, not even to mention hilarious. Like not even to mention the whole frame 24 thing and all that kind of stuff, but yeah, that's a whole another bag of shit. Yeah, nice. You know that plane conversation, that 7 hours is going to be exciting.
We'll get on, you'll start, yeah. And I'll go, fuck, are we there?
Yeah.
Right, okay, come on. Yeah.
maybe for us, but the rest of the passengers overhearing the conversation will come out of the plane horribly depressed and suicidal.
And possibly subscribers of Hacker Voice Radio.
Yes. Oh, man.
There's two nutters talking down by the toilet about conspiracy and government and subliminal TV messages. I don't like them. Shoot them.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's fucking horrible what they're doing, but you know, people just madness. Just have to research this kind of stuff and be aware of it, and
that's it, mate. Information's a key.
Yeah, exactly. So, whoops. Just trying to talk to Shaman at the same time as the radio show not working. my dual kind of core has broken.
Uh oh.
Yeah. I think we're actually coming up to the end of the show, man.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, it's gone 1 hour, so do you want to... Is there anything more that you want to add or talk about in the new stories?
No, that's it for me, mate.
Sure.
I'm good.
Cool.
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, tomorrow's going to be Wednesday, so I don't think there's going to be a show on Friday, unless I can... I'm going to try and get the hell back before 9 o'clock, because obviously... I'm going to need to go the following day. And I'm guessing you're going to be busy packing or panicking or whatever. So I don't know.
Probably panicking. Yeah. It's what I do best.
Yeah. So I don't know. You tell me. Do you feel like we should do one on Friday or should we just call it a respectful day?
With everything that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't promise a show on Friday.
Yeah, definitely.
If we both find ourselves around with bugger all to do, there'll be one. But I wouldn't bank on it, listeners.
Okay. So you heard it there.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have any pertinent news stories, please email them to radio@hackervoice.co.uk. And if you just want to generally get in touch with us with any subjects that we've been discussing over the past few days and months... over the past seasons.
Anything that's on your mind, speak it.
Please remember that can find that the episode, our Captain Crunch interview, is up on the website. Go to our The Shows, or Shows... Oh, fuck, I'm such a noob, I don't even know what that link... The Show radio show, to be precise, link on top of the webpage you can find there to download. It's called Captain Crunch Interview. I managed to mix it last night, and if it sounds a bit weird and it's cut in the middle and stuff, that's because that's where the interview kind of cut, and I couldn't be bothered to make it smooth. So, you know, that's as it is. And you'll probably like the introduction music to it. So check it out. It's quite cool, and you'll get to hear what Captain Crunch sounds like if you haven't already, if you don't already know. And that's it from me.
And from me as well. Just want to thank everyone who's tuned in or who's listened to this at any point in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
And thank you all.
Yeah, that's about it. So we check us out tomorrow, and shouts out to Sherman, who's actually volunteered himself to help us out with making some of the website dynamic, seeing as Scobie's kind of, I don't know, run away.
He's somewhere, we don't know where, but cheers, Sherman, top man.
So I think we'll finish off with a bit of Zell and a track called Carrying Bricks. So cool. Good night.
Night.
Health or wealth, motherfucker. You fighting for else or self? I write for dreams, fuck cream, full of empty shelf. Tap me assorted, crush this regime of hoarded wealth. Mix like hand and ice cream. Learn to love the people and not just yourself. What is the culture of poverty? What's up with these vultures robbing me? I'll jump at the first chance to destroy these monopolies. I'm no punk, I won't dance as a toy to appease these parasitic fleas. I'ma bring the system right to its fucking knees. I'm giving rhythm to the socialism, see? I'm driven to help the people, can't you understand, G? Whether you're with them or you're with me, I'ma walk that walk, I'ma talk that talk. We can stand arm in arm and fight the cops. If I'm right, you're lost.
Who are you carrying all those bricks for? God?
Trapped like slaves, we're monkeys in a cage as we reach this final stage. In the maze, words on their oral faces and catchphrases, thorough blazes. Where the snatch hater praises, I'm blowing cabezas. I'm showing up these racists. I'll be around when you come around, I got patience. Like the rarest thousand year monsoon, I'm gonna recreate the barest commune. Inebriate under the full moon, to the plague we've been born immune. A battle to win, our return and dream off gin. And my pumping Kool-Aid steam again. Mama didn't raise no fool, man. Since when did stupid become cool again? Here come the real dog days. I hear some bad deals are coming way. Retarded rat in circles you're running. Acid rain, the sky is falling. Yeah, it's time to pay. No use in fighting.